You, there is the insert into the bulletin this morning known as the sermon outline. So, here we are, Psalm 84, and I'm calling this the blessing of fellowship because we're going to look at this scene in Psalm 84 and talk about the fellowship that we have with our God on an individual basis, fellowship in the corporate setting of the church body today and the temple in that day, and then fellowship that we have with God uniquely as we serve Him. Today we're going to talk about the sons of Korah. If we published a help wanted, said we wanted someone to be a janitor, would you take that position? Hold on to that thought. It's interesting that we're talking about the sons of Korah, or also called the Korah. Heights. That means the sons of, right? The Korahites. They were called the gatekeepers of the west wing of the temple. They're sometimes called the doorkeepers. First, I always thought that was like the doorman. We lived in one apartment building that had a doorman. That was pretty cool. You know, you walk out and he'd open the door for you and you'd tell him, you know, he'd always ask you about your day. What a great job. You know, I thought he's a doorman, right? Sometimes we think of those, probably you've seen pictures of that on Seinfeld or something else. You have a doorman. All right, so I always thought that's what it meant. There were the gatekeepers, there were the doorman. Actually, the translation is, they're the janitors. Wow. So that's what we're going to talk about. Now listen to what they said. I'm going to give you a preview here before we get into it, but you know, this is this, most familiar verse in Psalm 84 is verse 10 when he says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere, and I would rather be a doorkeeper, janitor, in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." It's interesting. There are 11 psalms of the sons of Korah in the psalmody, okay? And if you stop and think about it, here's the guys who were the gatekeepers or the janitors. No doubt they did, as it says in Colossians chapter 3, they served the Lord, right? Whatever you do with all your heart to the Lord. And they found, as it says in Nehemiah, that the joy of the Lord was their strength. So they were joyful in serving God. Psalm 84 verse 10 shows they had joy in it, right? They'd rather be there and do that than anything else. One moment of His fellowship is far beyond anything else. And that means on an individual basis, or as we're going to look at it, develops into a corporate basis, and then a serving basis, and we have fellowship with God. So we're going to unpack Psalm 84 today, so stand by. We're going to talk about being a janitor. But the janitor would say any task, whether it seems menial or not, any task that we do in serving God is a very important task in His economy. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your holy word. Thank You for this example of the sons of Korah. Wow. Help us to have that same kind of attitude in humility, rather ready to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and do whatever it takes and do it to the best of our ability. Help us, Father, to have fellowship with You and be guided by that fellowship in corporate worship as well as in serving. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so first of all, I want to talk about the house of God. The house of God in this sense is, of course, the temple, and that is, we would say that would equal today the working of the spiritual temple, the Lord Jesus Christ's body, also called the church. As he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, do you not know that God, you are God's temple and the Spirit of God dwells in you? We are God's temple when it says that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's here in the midst. We are God's temple when it says we come into His presence. Okay, when we gather together, we come in His presence with singing. Now, there's a text of Scripture I'm going to reference several times in Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. Your presence, there is fullness of joy, and at Your right hand are pleasures evermore." So, we're talking about individual fellowship with God and about corporate fellowship with God, and in the fellowship with God we have as we serve. Because we're doing serving without the fellowship with God on a personal level and a corporate level, then what we're doing is serving God out of kind of like legalism. And that gets old real quick. And you see people do that because they become bitter as they serve. They're really not doing it out of fellowship. So this morning we're looking at the outline is the blessing of the presence of God overall in verses 1 through 4. The blessing of the presence of God and the strength that is found in Him in verses 5 through 8. And the blessing of trusting God for an enhanced worship and serving God in verses 9 through 12. Notice it says on your outline, the heading there is the to the choir master according to Giddith, which is the tune, a psalm for the sons of Korah. And I think it's important for us to realize what this is. In the days of Moses, there was a guy who was a Levite whose name was Korah. Okay? And he and some other guys from other tribes decided that Moses was taking on too much. So Korah was the ringleader of a rebellion, and he stood up to Moses and said, "You have taken on too much. You need, we're just as qualified as you are." So Moses, you know, being a good and godly man, he goes into God, "I didn't want this job to begin with. If you want the Korah, take, let him have it, you know." And God says, "No, no, no. You tell everyone that's with Korah to stand by him." And then Moses went out and said, here's the answer I received from God. If Korah and these people, and by the way, he wanted everybody around him, their families and all their stuff, to gather around Korah. And he says, if Korah and all these die a natural death, God didn't call me. But if the ground opens up and swallows them up, then you'll know that God has called me. He no sooner said that, the ground opened up and swallowed up Korah and all those who led the rebellion along with their families. So I've always kind of scratched my head. Sons of Korah, what happened? You didn't have any sons. Well, if you had sons, they went down with everybody else and their families, right? Then they came across this little text in Numbers chapter 26 and verse 11. It says this, but the sons of Korah did not die. Where were they? They might have been playing out in the woods. But we know this, that God does not make any mistakes, right? So everybody had their families along with them because of the rebellion, boom, going to the ground, and the ground swallowed them up. But Korah's sons were kept alive. I want you to understand, when we see the sons of Korah in the scriptures, that's called grace. What blessed them to not be swallowed up by the earth when everybody else was? God's grace. They definitely weren't there. And so when you look at this, the sons of Korah, the first thing you say, they were spared. Do you see the analogy then? Do you see how the connection is? You and I have been spared. We are all by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We deserved nothing but God's wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, that even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us alive with Christ. By grace are you saved. Okay, and He's raised us up to be citizens of heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the ages to come, He would show forth His exceeding riches of His glory and His grace towards us because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, just like the sons of Korah, we deserve to die. So I wonder if the sons of Korah then took on this attitude. His descendants, the descendants of the sons of the sons of the sons, now they're in the temple, and they have this job of cleaning the West Wing, okay? And they're willing to do it because we've been spared. We've not been wiped out. That's our motivation. Now let's look at it. Let me just read to you Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As though they go, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. All right, let's just break this down. It's some good stuff here as we look at it. First of all, the blessing of the presence of God, and the presence of God, we know it means an individual presence of God. I'm very thankful that as I talk to you this morning, as we look at Christ Community Presbyterian Church, I'm looking at people that have reading plans. They study the Scriptures. They're in the Scriptures daily and in time of prayer. That's important for us because we need to be seeking God on an individual basis. Because seeking God on an individual basis and finding fellowship there draws you to be part of a church body and part of the corporate worship of God. I always find it strange when people say, you know, I just get out so much, I really don't need to go to church because I'm finding my fellowship with God alone. You know, sometimes I can just go out in the woods and get it. No. Because if you're truly having fellowship with God, He did not establish the church for the church to be here and you go elsewhere. Right? So it is something that God is always constantly doing, and we see this here in the sons of Korah. Drawn to the corporate worship of God. So that's why one of the real misgivings is that if you just listen to a sermon, that's important enough. And so people they listen to everybody's sermons all the time. Maybe not my sermons. I don't know. I know that I'm sure get a lot of downloads off sermon audio, but but what I'm saying is that's no substitute for the corporate worship of God. Okay? And so, yes, we need the body together. We need to be together. And so individual worship moves to corporate worship, and corporate worship, as you enjoy the fellowship with God, leads to service. And that's where we're going on this. But notice the first point is that how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. You see in your outline, O Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Psalm 27, very familiar text, says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. That's both individual and corporate worship. Individual, I just want to be part of the Lord. I just want to be in His house. I just want to be in His presence. Psalm 122 says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. Truly, the house of God in the New Testament says, you know, the Lord is not impressed with temples and places and everything else. For the where the Lord is to be worshipped is there where we're worshiping in spirit and in truth. And so that's where God is there individually and corporately in spirit and in truth. The second point I have is a longing for God's presence. This is the grace and the gospel comes to us and changes our lives. Notice verse 2, it says, my soul longs, yes, faints in the courts of the Lord, and my heart and my flesh sing for the joy of the living, to the living God. Psalm 27 verse 8 says, the Lord said to me, to my heart, seek my face. My heart said, your face, Lord, will I seek. That's called the sovereign, irresistible grace of God. I mean, many of you could look back on your own life. You weren't going down the road, but God changed you. Okay? And that's the sovereign work of God. He said, seek my face. Your heart says, your face, Lord, will I see. Notice how it's in Psalm, I don't have it on your outline, but Psalm 42 says, as a deer pants for the living streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. That is a blessing to feel that, have that sense, I just want God in my life. Now, use this expression. Notice verse 3 says, even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Well, that sounds pretty gross, doesn't it? To have the swallow and the sparrow making a nest. First of all, I don't think it's near the altar, because at the altar of God in the temple, there's a lot of fire going on. I don't think that's a good place to build a nest. What is he saying here? There's a picture here for us to understand. The first thing we put to this is that sparrows, are seemingly worthless birds, aren't they? Did anybody ever buy a sparrow? Okay, remember Jesus said this. He used it to compare because we often think of the sparrow as worthless. So Jesus in Matthew 10 says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Okay, that doesn't seem very much, right? And he says, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your heavenly Father. Whoa. Did you catch that? We say worthless, not God. Okay, he's going to watch over them, cares for them. And so he says, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. And so he says, aren't you more value than sparrows? So, when you think of the sparrow, he said, the sparrow is the altar of God. And I think what he's pointing to is all the earth. It's God's altar. It praises him, right? And so in all the earth, you have the sparrow who seems to be worthless, and yet God watches over that sparrow. And he says, us, I care about you even more than the sparrows. Secondly, the swallow is a symbol of restlessness. Have you ever been able to follow a swallow? Follow a swallow? Okay? They're just everywhere, right? They're restless. But what does he say? They nest in the altar of God. They find rest. They find rest. Ever feel like you're kind of flittering around like the sparrow? Ting, ting. You go to one thing and then the other, and your life is like that. The people are calling, hey, come over here and do this. Dude, come over here and do this. And we're just kind of all around. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Hebrews chapter 4 says, when we have ceased from our own labors, we enter into His rest. And as we enter into His rest, we're able to serve because we come before Him and offer praise through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice then, he says, the blessing of fellowship with God in verse 4. He said, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Singing your praise because we're all part of one body and we're connected together. And I think what he's looking for, the sons of Korah are saying, you know, it's just one thing. I'm here on my own, but when I'm with God's people, there just seems to be a draw of praise. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We all have gifts, and so the gifts are to be used in helping one another share those gifts, but also it says in the book of Ephesians that when each part is working properly, it causes the whole body to grow itself in love. Okay. So the first thing was just the fellowship with God. And the second thing is the blessing of strength of God in verses 5 through 8. The first thing we look at this pathway of strength when he says in verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. Strength, of course, as it says in Psalm 27, the Lord is my strength and my song and my strength and my shield, in him my heart trusts. So there's no boasting in self, as it says in the book of Jeremiah, it says, let him that boast in this, that he knows the Lord, right? And that's what he's doing here. And so individually or collectively, we realize what we have is a blessing from God. And my boast is in him, for it's he has given me and shown me great things. I pointed out, as we read the book of Micah chapter 4, it says the people flow to this. I was thinking of the flow is to come and up to the mountain of the Lord and to worship God in spirit and in truth, as it says in John chapter 4. But notice it says in verse 6, this is the pathway of tears or obstacles. Do you ever have any pathway of tears or obstacles in your life? Now, I realize all of us have times of those tears, and that's a time that you know, there's sorrow above sorrow and expressed in tears. Isn't it good to know that it says in Psalm 56 and verse 8 that he says that he put my tears in his bottle, are they not in your book? And that's what the psalmist was praying. He was praying, put my tears in your bottle, are they not in your book? So, in other words, the tears that you shed, tears that you're going through, times of frustration, anxiety, or fear, whatever it is, and you shed those tears, or just disappointment, God says he catches those tears in his bottle. It's a time of remembrance for you. He says, are they not in your book? And so you find your experience in God's Word. It's in his book. And so we identify with those people who also shed those like tears. But this valley of Baca is the valley of tears and sorrow. And so you might enter into this valley of sorrow where God knows your tears and he knows your sorrows. But don't think about it this way. It's also as is expressed here. They go through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs and early rain covers it with pools. In other words, when they're on their way to Zion, and it says it's almost like when they were coming to church, there's an obstacle. Has there ever been obstacles in your life when you're coming to church? Yeah, you know, I've been obstacles. People express, you know, I'm coming down the road. Somebody cut me off on the way to church. Or it's amazing how something burns at home, or something that, you know, the lunch burns, or there's people arguing, or, you know, sometimes if you have children, they're doing this and that, and it's hard to put things together. There seems to be obstacles along the way. Or obstacles that say, instead of going to church today, come. Come. Tom asked me the other day, he said, what do you think about me going to an Eagles game? I know he loves, I mean, those of you who know Tom, he loves the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a big Eagles fan. He said, my friend has offered me tickets to a game up here. And I said, well, can you honor the Lord today and go to the football game? Can you truly worship God at the morning service and then the evening service and go in between to the ball game? So that's the decision you have to make. Are you truly honoring the Lord's day and doing all this? He just got quiet. Because I know what he was thinking. He wanted me to give him permission. There's a lot of people say, you know, what do you think about this preacher? And well, if he said it's all right, then, you know, sorry, I don't give permission. But we have to ask ourselves, are we truly honoring God? There's obstacles, what I'm getting at. There were obstacles. They were on the way to Zion. They would go through this valley. And in the valley, the Baca, it's interesting, this Baca is a Baca bush, not bacon. Okay, those of you who are looking at it and you said, bacon. And they have it on a bush. That sounds pretty good. All right. No, it's Baca, B-A-C-A. All right? All right. And it was a bush with a lot of thorns. And they have to go through the way. It's almost like what I gather is kind of like one of those tumbleweeds. But you go near it and it had a lot of thorns. And so as you went through it, sometimes you would go through there and it would get you and it caused tears, right? So there are things in our lives, so we have to go through these times. And as Jesus says, with great difficulty people enter the kingdom. It's not an easy road. But you want fellowship with God, you're willing to do it. And they wanted to go up to Zion because they were having fellowship alone with God. And they would have fellowship with God's people, so they were willing to go to Zion. As they were going to Zion, there's difficulty along the way. But notice he says, it's a place of springs, and the refreshing of the place of fellowship with God, and personally, and in those who are going up together to the house of God. Refreshment. Even the tears became a place of refreshment and connection. That's why we share with one another. We weep with those who weep and we mourn with those who mourn because there's refreshment in doing so. Refreshment. Peter says there's a time of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Corporately then, he says, we're refreshed by the company of God, Paul says in Romans chapter 15. And in 2 Timothy, they're refreshed in the servant of God as Onesiphorus was often refreshed, the Apostle Paul. But notice it says they go from strength to strength. Now each one appears before God in Zion, from strength to strength. Now he's the one who gives strength. And as it says here, and I want you to notice this text of Scripture, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it's on your outline, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. I realize that it has a spiritual connotation about being transformed into glory for the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also has to do with your strength is encouraged as you press on through the difficult moments, desiring to be in the house of God with His people. It's a phenomenon that happens, that you find strength, because it is living out what it says in Isaiah 40, verse 31. They who wait on the Lord shall renew their what? Strength. Shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So enjoying God's presence and overcoming obstacles in the daily life finds our strength to be encouraged. All right. Let's look at this last section, verses 9 through 12. First of all, it says they were living in protection, as it says in verse 9. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. It's interesting because they were looking at God. They're sons of Korah. Let's just compare this. The sons of Korah were looking at God and asked God to look upon them as they looked to God. Okay, follow with me on that. Korah was saying, look at me. I deserve to be in leadership. The sons learned the lesson. They're long distance, granted, but they were looking at God. As it says in Deuteronomy, who is like you, O people, save the Lord? The shield of your help is the Lord, and the sword of your triumph. Notice he says, look on the face of your anointed. We're looking up and long for his look of grace. And isn't that what it says in the benediction of the blessing of Numbers 6? It says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. So we come to verse 10, living in humility. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching in John chapter 6, and as he was teaching about sovereignty and God's grace, and it says that many of the people that walked with him left him. Matter of fact, if you read through John chapter 6, the numbers just keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Right? And Jesus finally looks at the disciples and says, you going away also? What did Peter say? Where are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. This is where we are. I mean, this is what I need. I need what you have, Lord, and I can't go anywhere else. And that, and the feeling of desperation, is what keeps us coming back. A day in your courts is better than 1,000. Where are you going to go? He's the one that makes known to us the fullness of joy in his presence. And so he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper or a janitor in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather have the menial task than to dwell anywhere else. To dwell out there with it, have the worldly things, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather have the most menial task in the service of God than be out yonder. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we read, he says, there are those in the church that may seem to have no honor or less honor, but they're important in the church body. Everyone's important because we're all the body of Christ. I mean, right now, this church today, you know, looking forward to next week when Vicky's supposed to be back. Okay, now, Susie is really anxious about that, and rightly so. You know, it's amazing, you know, especially when Camilo left, and it's just someone to play that piano really does help to bring things together, right? Now, all of you are yearning for that, but understand, the church body needs everybody. Okay? We need everybody. And so our hearts yearn because we've lost people over this past year because they've moved, like the Betancourts. We've lost people because they've neglected the house of God. And so our hearts should yearn. Wait a minute. That's important too. And you understand that when you're not here, we miss you. We're part of the same body. There's some that you recognize. Yeah. And others, you say, I didn't even know they were gone. They're important too. May we all have that same attitude. We're willing to take on even menial tasks that get no recognition from man, but understand that God sees everything that we do. And he says, even offering a cup of cold water in his name will be rewarded. So we live with confidence. The Lord It says in verses 11 through 12, the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Isn't that a good verse? No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He is our light and our shield, and he is, of course, the one who provides for us. He is the light of the world. I was just thinking about this, you know, when we are living in fellowship with God, and it says in the last part of that last verse that he says, no good thing, or the Lord is a sun and a shield, who bestows favor and honor, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. That's called faith. If you had to measure your faith on a scale of 1 to 10, where would it be? People hate that when I ask that. Blair's saying, that's right, I hate it. Every time you ask me a scale of 1 to 10. Yeah. And he always weasels out of it. It's amazing. We're having a personal discipleship time. I said, where are you on a scale of 1 to 10? He'll tell me a story. Thinking I've forgotten. And I'll say, back to the scale, Blair. Now, if I asked you, what would you say? Scale of 1 to 10, where's your faith? Would you like to have more faith? You say, yeah, I guess so, because Jesus said that, you know, his disciples came to him and said, increase our faith. I know what they were looking for. Poof, more faith, right? Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like that if God just touched you and you had faith that could remove a mountain? Wouldn't that be cool? Well, he said, the first thing he said, if you had faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, or mulberry tree, be picked up by its roots and planted over here. He wasn't asking them to do something that was just to be a big show. Because sometimes they're going through life, they're going to have obstacles, right? And you will have obstacles, and they wouldn't be an obstacle if you had faith. It doesn't mean that you're going to just go out and, you know, change the row of trees out here. Watch this. Just think if that was it. Come on. And so then he says, I get a story to you. You love to tell these stories, right? He says, say a man had a servant out in the field and he called the servant in. Does he call that servant in to set him down to a meal? Provide a meal for that servant? He says, no. He'll tell the servant, serve me. And he says, after he has served him, does he thank that servant because he served him a meal? Not necessarily. So what's the servant supposed to say to himself? The servant is not expecting something from the master. He's just doing a servant's work, right? And he says to him, and so shall you. Once you've done all that you've been told to do, you say to yourselves, we're unprofitable servants. We're just servants. Okay, now was he putting them down? No, he's saying, you be faithful in what God has given you to do, whatever it is. You be faithful. And as you're faithful, your faith will grow out of your faithfulness, knowing that it is God who causes you and helps you to be faithful in that service. You with me on that? And so as he gives you grace to be faithful, your faith increases. And so when you have obstacles along the way, including the times you go through the valley of tears, the valley of Baca, you go from strength to strength. From times that you have no strength, you find God has given you strength, the time you're ready to face even bigger obstacles. That's an increase of faith. And that comes from faithfulness. And that is a grace of God too. So Israel, he says in Psalm 115, O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. Faith, faith. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Grow in your faith. He is their help and their shield. Psalm 62 on your outline as I close out here. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. That's prayer. Pour out your heart before him. He is a refuge for us. And we find fellowship with him individually, which leads us to corporate worship. Corporate worship should guide us to serve. The most menial task or bigger task, whatever it is, whether we get recognition or not, we're just happy to be on the team. Happy to serve the Lord wherever he has open for us, knowing that he gets the credit. So in conclusion, the gospel has come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ to say, look what He has done. He has saved us from our sins. He has called us to Himself. He provides a church for us in which to grow. And so He says in this psalm, the blessing of the presence of God should not be neglected. Individually, corporately, or through service. Because the more that you do that, it just builds on one another. The blessing of the strength of God. You fight for it. Whether you go through obstacles or whatever it is, you spend time with Him. Enjoy Him. The blessing of trusting God is built through service. The example of this morning that we have, keep in mind of all these things, the example is the sons of Korah, whose daddy, great-granddaddy, great-great-great, whatever it is, back to Moses. Daddy and all his family and all that he had and all those who were rebellious were swallowed up. Gone like that. But God in His tender mercy reserved the sons of Korah. And not only that, but said, I have a place for them. A unique place that nobody else can do but them. Brothers and sisters, again, that's us. We deserved His hell and His wrath forever. But He has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His purpose and His grace given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's now made manifest by the appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. One day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for this time in Your Word. Thank You for Your preservation of the sons of Korah and their descendants. Thank You for these men who were used of You to be janitors and yet wrote great words of trust, great words of blessing and fellowship. We pray that You would use Your Word to bless us with the sense of Your fellowship even this week, even as we continue through this service in the Lord's Supper. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I ask our brothers to